Daniels, quick throw, far side, get it out there to McLaurin. Breakthrough, Terry McLaurin, foot race, McLaurin is going to win, touchdown, Washington.
That was with an NFC championship game on the line against the Detroit Lions. Kevin Burkhardt of Fox on the call. My wife and I were watching quarterback on Netflix and saw that play as Jared Goff's wife was just sobbing in the suite.
How
felt
is this so good.
Happening? How is this happening? I felt terrible for her.
No, I didn't feel
My
bad.
Wife's like, I've been that sad for years. Do you feel bad for me? I'm like, yeah, of course I do.
Nah, don't feel bad.
She was so sad, man. What are you guys doing to protect your assets? The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Kondorian Murad, want to know. They're going to take good care of you. Schedule a consultation with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. So Toki just did the update with the hat backwards. That means somebody, and I don't know who it could have been, must have said something bad about Terry McLaurin during the commercial break. Because that's how you get under Toby's skin. You want Toby to be a little salty? Want him to leave the room and go stew by himself in another area of the building? You just ask about Terry McLaurin's future exploits as the number one wide receiver. All right, Darius, I want to hear from the analysts on ESPN that are taking Adam Peters to task, and then we're going to touch the people and get to the calls on this at 800-636-1067. We've talked so much about the McLaurin side of this game of chicken. What about Peters, the GM, who has done an unbelievable job? Is this worth waging war over? Is it worth winning this deal? Chris Canty, Dan Orlovsky had thoughts.
It makes no sense to me. This is a guy that from a culture standpoint embodies everything you want your program to be about. I don't understand why you don't want to pay this guy. See, sometimes these organizations, these front offices, they can operate in these negotiations with a tad bit of hubris. And it feels like that's what's happening with Adam Peters right now. Sometimes the worst thing that can happen to you in sports and in life is to have success early on because you think you know it all. And you try to hardline every single negotiation. You try to win every deal. Here's the thing that every successful business person knows. You can't win every deal. Every contract negotiation ain't gonna be a deal. Sometimes it's just getting the contract signed. And in this instance, that's exactly what needs to happen with Terry McLaurin because he means so much to Jaden Daniels' development. I don't understand why the Washington Commanders are taking this approach with somebody that from a locker room chemistry standpoint, from an on-field production standpoint, brings everything you want to the table. If Adam Peters is willing to do this to Terry McLaurin, then he's willing to do it to anybody in that Commander's locker room. And that might be one of the worst messages you could be sending to the rest of the guys that are involved in your program after having so much success early on.
So the easy rebuttal might be, yeah, but I can't overpay everyone who's a great guy who's great in my program. But maybe Canty's point is there's one of these. There's one Terry McLaurin. It's not about overpaying every great player who's a great guy. There's one Terry McLaurin, and that was the point that Dan Orlovsky made about what he's meant to the organization.
Respectfully, Washington, you were a dumpster fire for years. You were a laughingstock. The only thing good about your organization was that young man. Every year he did it, year after year after year, for like 5 or 6 years with disaster all around you. You were the only reason why anyone spoke somewhat positively about your organization. If you don't have him, you erase everything that you did last year. Everything that you did, and I'm being respectful to Dan Quinn and Adam Peters and what they did last year. You need him. There, give me receivers that impact winning as much or if not more than Terry McLaurin. I'll give you like Jamar. I'll give you like Jettis. Justin. Mm-hmm. Amon Ross St. Brown. This guy, he impacts winning. This is a team that had 6 fourth-quarter comebacks, was ridiculous on fourth down. What are we doing in Washington? You finally have some good, and you finally have hope for
after
the future,
year, yes.
And you're trying to take away the one thing in your organization that before Jaden and this group got there was good? It makes no sense.
First time in 5 seasons this past year that Terry McLaurin caught 80 balls. He went for 13 touchdowns, which was almost double what he'd ever done before. and he crept up on nearly 1,100 yards. Now, 13.4 a pop was up from a year ago. Still one of the second lowest total of the last 4 years, and maybe that's the concern, Toby. The downfield stuff, the explosiveness, some of the yards per catch metrics, it's probably going to be 12.5 to 13.5 at this point. That's not really the range of the guys that are making $30 million a year, and you're worried about at age 30, 31, does that subside? I tend to agree that Peters is more right than McLaurin on the value at his age. I just have made the case all along. I don't know if that's the only thing that matters here. To the Canty point, you don't have to win every single transaction.
Yeah, 100%. You know,
you're not married, but you don't have to win every fight with your wife. Like, sometimes you win by not fighting. Sometimes you win by not getting the last word.
Yeah, 100%. And I think that's the situation here. And that's why I think, you know, the negotiation is going how contract negotiations go around the league. That's not shocking. But I think the whole reason that there's the frustration is it's Terry. Like, if it were anybody else, with maybe the exception of Jaden Daniels on this team, I think we would be going about our business as usual. We'd obviously have the discussion here on the radio, but I don't think it'd be the talk of the town. You walk around to anybody. When are they going to sign Terry? You think this Terry thing gets done?
Oh,
you think they're
going to trade Terry? Dude, you mentioned this when we were talking in the break. Every time someone drops a pass today, I can't remember who it was. It might have been Chris Moore or somebody. But somebody dropped a pass today in practice, and everyone was chanting Terry.
Right?
Like, every time a player doesn't get open or drops a ball or something happens at receiver that's not ideal, 7,000 fans are chanting Terry, Terry. I mean,
yeah.
It's comical.
And today was the first time, by the way, since he's been back, that he didn't walk out, sign autographs, do his usual bit.
Yeah, what happened to the McLaurin show? The autographs.
I don't know what happened, but he wasn't out there doing that today. I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of that.
I wonder if he was in the building.
I don't know.
I'd imagine. Maybe he was working on that ankle because he's got a serious ankle injury. Perhaps he was getting some treatment because that ankle's that's a big deal.
It's been bothering him since that NFC Championship game is what I've been told.
Right.
He hasn't had 7-8 months to get that better.
It's been bothering him since Peter said he can't find $30 million under the couch cushions.
It's so true. But yeah, I think that they'll get this done, but I just don't know that this whole situation, and I'm interested once we get this thing done because I think we both still assume that it gets done. But once it gets done, I'm curious to see the numbers, and then we can kind of decipher out like which side, where they were looking at, and where each side ultimately compromised.
I think it gets done less than what we all expect.
I would think so, too.
I think the agent and the player have to budge a little bit after the Sutton deal.
But I'm curious, like, when we get down to it, is it $8 million that was the difference, or is it $4 million, or somewhere in between? Because if it's the four side, then I don't know what this whole thing is about.
I don't know where they're at now. I'll bet you they were close to $10 million apart at some point.
Yeah, and if I
think it was $25 million versus $35 million, and maybe now it's like $33 versus $26 or $27.
So if we're taking McLaurin at his word, the thing that I would maybe have the biggest issue with was the not talking for a month thing. If you're $10 million apart, then that means you're going to have some negotiations. That's active. We're talking every day. We're sending stuff back and forth like, hey, here's why we're willing to go here, and here's why we're not willing to go there, all those sorts of things. But the not doing it for a month leading up to training camp, and now we're here in the middle of training camp, and you still haven't signed, that would be my one big gripe, and that was the big frustration for me.
Are you guys okay with how Adam Peters is handling this first marquee negotiation with one of the Commanders' best players? Let's go to MacArthur in Arlington on Grant and Danny. How are you?
Hello.
How's it going?
I'm doing great. Thank you, sir. Yeah, I wanted to comment on the Terry McLaurin's deal. I think that at his age, and I lay all my eggs in the basket with Adam Peters on this deal, I think that to give him that type of money, by him turning 30 years old next year, I mean, the production may fall off, and that's pretty much the norm around the NFL. When you get in your 30s, you kind of fall off a little bit. So I kind of trust Adam Peters with the decision-making on, you know, not paying Terry McLaurin over $30 million a year. I think that is way too much. He's a great receiver. But just remember, you know, when we play Philly and Quinton Mitchell has shut him down in two games, okay, this year, and that's our division. That's who we need to play against. Now, yes, we do need to sign him. I totally agree with you on that deal. But he's the best receiver on this team. But
well, not even close, right? I mean, without him, when you watch practice, we just had Adam Kilgore on from the Post. Debo was not even a full-time, traditional, normal wide receiver. He's number one. And then Jalen Lane, the rookie mid-round pick out of Virginia Tech, who may or may not be in the game plan in week one, the way things are trending.
Yeah, and number three, I have no idea.
Yeah, he'd be the number two receiver in camp so far. And third, I would say Chris Moore, who's been like up and down as a veteran who's just, you know, getting by on guile and some know-how. Let's go to Brock in Bowie, home of the Bay Sox. What's up?
What's going on, fellas? This is my first time calling in on your show.
Oh, we appreciate you calling. Thank you, buddy. How you doing?
Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
So is any part of you growing in your frustration with how the team's handling this, or do you like that they're playing hardball over this money?
Well, I think I'm going to put my GM hat on. Adam Peters is more so with him. You know, he's trying to put a stamp on that franchise. Basically, he didn't trade for him. He didn't draft him. He inherited him, you know, with the team. So basically that's not his guy, you know, from that standpoint, because of the fact that, you know, he's new, you know, he's a new GM. So he's really want to, you know, bring his guys in so they can, you know, do their due diligence and show the organization that, hey, we're running this ship right. But I think Terry McLaurin, you know, he's done everything to get the money, but at the same token, that's not Adam's.
But do you have any issue with how they're handling it, or do you think it's just good business?
I have an issue with it because of the fact that this Terry McLaurin, he's been an upright guy, upstanding citizen, and he's done everything the right way.
Yeah, that to me is the great debate, is should they treat Terry McLaurin as 30-year-old wide receiver number 7, you know, like just a code on the back of the jacket, 1A2R673, age 30, experience level 6 years, demand $30 million. We cannot do that. He is too old. Or is this our sweet Prince Terry? Like, should that factor into it? Kevin in Arlington, what's up?
What's up, Kevin?
Hey, fellas. So a couple of things. First of all, Canty talking about, you know, you can't win every deal. He's talking about Bruce Allen. He's not talking about Adam Peters, okay? And it's not just Adam Peters.
I think his point, Kev, was sometimes you do a bad deal for the bigger picture, and this would be a time to do that, he's saying.
Maybe so, but I don't disagree with that. I think what's getting lost in all this, in my opinion, is Buddy Baker's an amateur. The reason they didn't talk for a month is he was ridiculous and what he was asking for, in my opinion. I think that's going to come out. And so that's not getting talked about a whole lot. Listen, the other thing is, and I don't know if I agree with this or not, it may be that Adam Peters in this front office, they don't view the wide receiver position as where they're going to put all the money. The other thing is, hey, he is trying to win with a rookie quarterback contract. I mean, we have been dying for someone like Adam Peters, like Dan Quinn, and like JD5 to be here. Now they are. I'm sorry this has happened to Terry. I love Terry, but I think he's a little delusional about what he's asking for. This is his third contract. He's 30 years old. I'm sorry. I'm with Adam Peters, and I think Buddy Baker is the crux of the problem here.
Just so people know that they maybe don't, Buddy Baker's the agent for Terry McLaurin he's referencing. He doesn't really have any clients the caliber of McLaurin. Tershawn Wharton in Carolina is his next biggest player. Jeremy Chin, who is here, was going to make $8 million this year, would probably be third. Reed Blankenship with the Eagles. He's got Shaquille Griffin in Seattle. But by and large, he's an agent that doesn't have a lot of stars.
And he brought up maybe they're not viewing the wide receiver position. I don't buy that because he came from San Francisco where they had Debo and Ayuk. And they paid both those guys. And by the way, they just traded for a guy that's getting $20 million this year in Debo Samuel. So they care about the wide receiver position. Maybe they don't care about McLaurin at the wide receiver position.
So I've actually made the point it is possible that they are not going to want to spend big at wide receiver. I think that's very plausible. I won't know for a year or two, but the Ravens are my example of you don't have to have wide receiver one. You don't have to spend huge at the position because it's kind of a wasted asset.
But then you need a tight end or a reliable dude. So
sure.
Who
but that's
outside
why you
of
go
Terry
get Debo, who's a weapon. Okay. I think they view him as a weapon less a wide receiver. But my point is, you know, with the Ravens, it's the running game, it's tight end, right? Which they have a great one and have for many years in Mark Andrews. And now with Zay Flowers, they finally hit on. They draft their guys. They don't want to spend a lot of money at the position. It's not like they don't want talent. They just had a hard time drafting it.
To me, it's funny because we always they do that, right? You talk about that. But then it always gets to a point where like, man, they could use a number one receiver.
Well, exactly. But people say that. I don't think the Ravens, they're drafting hoping to find it. They're not going to spend on it because it's a waste of money. Because Lamar is never going to feed a receiver to go.
Okay, but
hold on. Let me just finish real quick. Like 110 catches, 1,400 yards, 15 touchdowns. You know, you can find a Steve Smith. You can find those assets. When you have a running quarterback where a lot of passes become scrambles, it just might not be the best way to spend money. And we saw this how many times last year?
Sure.
McLaurin had five games where he had less than 25 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Same number as 100-yard games. Like, there's going to be games in this offense where Jaden's running around, we're throwing to the tight end in the backs, where the wide receiver's not the biggest thing.
Yeah, but I think even, like, you look at the guy who won MVP last year, right? Part of the reason he won MVP is he didn't have the receivers around him. But middle of the year, they're like, we need a number one guy. They traded for Amari Cooper, who didn't turn out to be the number one guy. But even they were like, we need a guy that we can depend on. And Shakir was good, but he wasn't that dude. So I just don't think that the idea that they could get by without having a true number one, because people will look at KC, and they just ignore the tight end position, as if Travis Kelce isn't one of the best receiving tight ends of all time. Oh, well, he had Tyreek Hill. Now he doesn't have him. What does he have? It's Travis Kelce. Oh, well, you look at Baltimore, and they have Mark Andrews. They have Isaiah Likely. Like, they have guys. So if you're going to go outside, are you going to say Zach Ertz? Are you going to say Debo's going to suddenly fill in that? When we always talk about Debo, and we say he's more weapon than actual receiver.
Right.
Like, you have to have that guy.
Totally. But you don't have to pay a wide receiver one, would be my point.
Sure.
Buffalo has actively gone away from that to name the team that you're referencing. And by the way, even though Josh Allen is fourth in rushing attempts, he ran the ball last year 100 times. Jaden Daniels ran the ball over 100, like 150 times.
Yeah.
There's a huge difference. My point is just there's two guys, maybe three if you count like Jalen Hurts, and they have built the thing beautifully with great receivers. But in the case of Lamar, in the case of Jaden Daniels, when your quarterback's going to run as much as those guys are, and you're going to have 800, 900, maybe 1,000 yards worth of offense just from rushing, and then you could build it up. Tight end is the cheapest position to go get a great weapon in terms of just like value and cost on the open market. Eckler, pass-catching backs out of the backfield. That is one way to skin the cat, so to speak, in terms of building an offense. Is I don't know if this is how they view it or not. I'm saying they're acting like they view it this way. When you suggest you don't want to pay Terry McLaurin, when you bring in Debo only on 1 year, it's not like they extended him. You know, if they brought in Debo and gave him a 3-year extension, then yeah, they're really prioritizing a wide receiver weapon. I think they found a guy that they thought could help him for a year. We're going to find out. My guess is that they tag McLaurin and he's here, but that you're going to see them really sink their teeth into the receiver position in the draft like the Ravens do, because they're going to try to build kind of short and intermediate, tight ends, running backs, quarterback run game, like that kind of stuff. So I think there's a possibility to what he's talking about, that maybe they don't want to spend top-of-the-market money at receiver. Now, is it just that they don't view McLaurin as worth it? That's possible, too. We're going to find out in the next couple years.
Yeah, and I mean, I think that's a valid choice if they want to go that way. It's just, I don't know that this was the time to do all this, but this is Adam Peters' team. This is what he's opted to do, and we've seen them get these deals done in the past. So I'm hoping that they do find a way to get this done, but I don't know. This is the first time that you can look at something that Peters has really done and feel like you can really criticize that.
I'm glad you brought up Peters, because that was the first part of his call that I wanted to get back to. He mentioned, you know, I hear this argument a lot from people, and this was the case with Rivera before Peters, and he used to annoy me then, where someone will say, all we've ever wanted is a general manager who ran the football operation, and now we have one. And, like, people are questioning the way he's running it.
Yeah.
As if to say you can never question anything. I think that's just stupid. I hate that.
Correct.
You can do two things at once. I'm very capable of walking and chewing gum. I wanted Adam Peters. I love Adam Peters. In fact, in this stare down with McLaurin, I actually think he's more right than Terry McLaurin. Like, all of things can be true that I just said. And it is perfectly okay for someone to think Adam Peters is good and is going to be a great GM and has already been a good GM and still wonder if he's doing the right thing with McLaurin.
Yeah.
Because the best GMs, whether it's Theo Epstein in baseball or Howie Roseman in Philadelphia, are wrong constantly.
Yeah, Howie Roseman took Jalen Reagor over Justin Jefferson.
Right.
Happens all the time.
The idea that we can sit here and go, is Adam Peters doing the right thing with Terry McLaurin? And the response to that should be, you got a great GM, just let him cook, let him do his thing. he's going to keep working. Like, we're having conversations. It's not stopping him from doing his job, I promise you. Right?
You don't think he's tuned in right now?
And he might be. He's probably listening in his office. What's up, Adam? But he's still making the phone calls while he's doing it. You know, he's still sending the text messages. But this notion of, like, you guys have a GM, and you, how dare you? The in Ron we trust thing was for the birds. You guys got fooled by that, and that's the prerogative. This is actually a grown-up who's worth trusting. And so if you want to do an Adam we trust thing, I'll actually go to those meetings. I'll sit there with you. I'm Grant Paulson. In Adam I trust. I love Adam Peters. But I'm still going to be a critical thinker. That there is no reason not to be
100%.
When the job is that you get it right like 60% of the time and you're in the Hall of Fame. We're trying to figure out what the 40% is to try to make sure that, you know, they do the right things. Your thoughts on how they're doing this, 800-636-1067. Also, if we're not at the hit-the-wall time here with the preseason game coming up this week, how close are we? Like, is that a week away now? That Terry McLaurin's actually got to start doing something?
Mm.
Or else maybe he won't be ready for week one? This is The Fan.
If Adam Peters is willing to do this to Terry McLaurin, then he's willing to do it to anybody in that Commander's locker room. And that might be one of the worst messages you could be sending to the rest of the guys that are involved in your program after having so much success early on.
Training camp coverage on The Fan presented by Paul Henry's Window Installation. PaulHenrysWindows.com, your clear home improvement choice. That's Chris Canty of ESPN. Grant and Danny, no Danny. Toby is in. You just heard him on the update. This is The Fan. Are you familiar with Morgan Wallen? I feel like you're a country music guy.
I'm not, but I do know Morgan Wallen.
You're not a country music guy?
No.
You kind of listen to like the Christian
rock. I've listened
rock.
To some.
Isn't that the same
thing?
Yeah,
I've listened to some.
Okay.
I've listened to some collabs with Post Malone, Morgan Wallen.
So I wouldn't recognize Morgan Wallen if he was sitting on my lap.
So you want to hear an ironic one?
Yeah.
We're in the Nationals clubhouse pregame a couple of weeks ago. He has a song called 98 Braves. What do you think about 98 Braves blaring in the Nationals clubhouse?
Is it about the 1998 Atlanta Braves?
It is about the 1998 Atlanta Braves and how they came up short.
So he's a big sports guy.
I think he grew up a Braves fan.
Okay, well, I mean, if you're making songs called the 98 Braves, I'm guessing you dig sports. But I'm leading into this, which is, so I love this bit that he does. I couldn't name one of his songs. I probably would hate all of them. I've never listened to it. I'm not a country music
guy. It's not bad.
But it's like poppy, right? It's like,
yeah.
I just don't know if it's for me. I'll give it a listen.
I'll play a song in the break.
Yeah, I'll get back to you on that. But he does this thing where he walks out to his concert like a WWE wrestler through gorilla position from way back in the back boiler rooms of the bowels of the stadium. And he walks out in these huge venues with famous, normally athletes, but people from the city just to get the crowd going.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw he was in San Francisco. I don't know if he was at the 49ers Stadium, I'm assuming.
I think he was at Levi's, yeah.
Okay, so he's at Levi's Stadium, 49ers home. And he walks out with Barry Bonds and Steve Young this week.
Wow.
And I'm like, first of all, I'd imagine they got to be paying these guys to do this, I would think. Like, Barry Bonds is not doing that for no reason. Maybe if a guy's a huge fan of the performer and they're going to the concert anyway, it's like an honor where he's like, hey, walk out with me. And it's like, yeah, no problem. The next night, he was there for two nights, I guess. He's got George Kittle on his left and Trent Williams on his right. And they're walking him out, and it's all these 49ers fan at Levi. But I was wondering about this. I think it's the coolest thing going. It's the kind of move, like if you're a musician, you got to have a gimmick a little bit. You got to do something cool. If he's in D.C., who's he walking out with? And I thought about, you can't get the A-pop if it's not Jaden Daniels right now.
100%.
So Jaden's got to be there. Who's on the other side? Now, we're talking Terry McLaurin, fan favorite. Right now, especially, it would make a lot of sense if you're walking out to Northwest Stadium with Terry on your side.
Yeah.
But I think it would just be funny to watch, like, Ovi.
Yeah, I think Ovi.
Ovi next to Morgan Wallen. So he's got Jaden Daniels on one side wearing an Ovi sweater. He's got Ovi on the other side wearing a Jaden Daniels jersey. And he's walking out to the stage.
Yeah, I think it's got to be Ovi because you think about the other sports, unless we're going with legends. No one on the Wizards. No one on the Nationals.
If he's walking out with Trey Johnson, people are like, who Who is that young man with him?
Like, I would love for it to be James Wood, but we're not there yet. I would love for it to be Dylan Cruz, but we're not there yet. But I think it would have to be those two.
If it was at Nats Park, maybe you could do like a Wood and Cruz
on
either side.
But he's
going to
be at Northwest Stadium.
Yeah.
I mean, you could maybe get a pop if you brought back like a John Wall.
He does celebrities with him too. So I don't like Dave Chappelle is not interested, I would imagine, in coming to D.C. from his random town.
I mean, are they
going to
do the Francis Tiafo bit?
Right. Yeah. Francis Tiafo would be funny, or Kevin Durant would be interesting.
KD would be awesome.
Like, that's a good one.
And KD would roll up probably wearing a Jaden Daniels jersey.
Do you think they pay those guys?
I would think so. I don't think Barry Bonds is just going to Morgan Wallen concerts.
I don't know. Barry Bonds might be a Morgan Wallen guy.
Do you think a John Bernthal or a Dave Bautista would get a pop?
Dave Bautista, definitely, because he looks like, you know, Brock Lesnar or something. You could just, right away, you know, oh, that's Bautista. Now, Danny and I argued about Bernthal a few months ago in another, like, in this regard. I love John Bernthal. That's my dude. You could tell there's going to be a butt coming. Clary style, here's my big butt. John Bernthal's a badass. I think John Bernthal could, like, walk through a mall in the DMV, and people would point at him and be like, oh, that's that actor. But I don't think they would know it's John Bernthal.
No. Here's my big butt.
I think they would maybe go with some legends to go with Jaden. Like, Ovi would work, but if not, you're just going back to old Redskins legends.
Oh, I got it. Dale Earnhardt Jr.
Dale would work.
Especially with that crowd, not to generalize, but Morgan Wallen's performing.
Well, if you're going to go that route, John Riggins would get a nice pop.
John Riggins would be, as far as the legends go, hell yeah. But did you see the video of, I mean, that's got to be the best one he's done. I've seen a bunch of these.
I didn't
Steve
see that specific
freaking
one.
Freaking Young and Barry Bonds flanking him, walking out in San Francisco.
I mean, you know, Pat McAfee did it in Indy. I'm trying to remember who else is. But he always gets the big time. He gets some big pops on it. I like it.
I want to know what they pay people. See if you can find that, Dad. Or if they do. I guess it's possible. It's just like, dude, Morgan Wallen, I'll walk out with you in front of 70,000 people. Instead.
Tom Brady and Mike Tyson in Vegas.
That's pretty good. That might actually top. The San Francisco one's better with the legends, but in terms of star power, Brady and Tyson is really good.
Rest in peace, but Hulk Hogan and Baker Mayfield in Tampa.
Ooh, they love Hulk in Florida, too. Baker. Yeah, I mean, he gets A-listers.
Kelsey, Mahomes, Chris Jones, and KC.
How do we get him to help us book the show? Like, who gets more A-listers than Morgan Wallen? He should be booking our radio show for us. All right, let's hit the phones, 800-636-1067. Marty's waiting in Alexandria. Marty, we're talking Adam Peters here. Do you have any problem with him making Terry McLaurin sweat deep into this offseason?
Look, this has been killing me ever since you guys, and I love you. Grant, I've met you multiple times. I love the program. But you guys have actually taken the side of the player. And you can say, well, you qualified it, and you have, but you guys have taken the player's side. And you have none of us know what the actual offer and ask was. If it was $35 million and he's not budging, he's not going to be getting $35 million. No one in the NFL, here's my another comment. There's not another team in the NFL that'll pay him $30 million a year, let alone $35 million.
You disagree with that?
Someone would be willing to pay him $30 million.
I think it's a very small group of teams at his age, but I do think he could get that money, yeah. But Marty, I think the reason, and I disagree with the idea that, and I can't speak for everyone, I'll speak for myself, that I've taken McLaurin's side. I've said many times, I actually think McLaurin's more right. Excuse me, Peters is more right than McLaurin. But I think the reason you're hearing so many people, quote-unquote, take the player's side is the only report out there on money that we know of in terms of what they've offered him is basically a slight upgrade from what he got last year at like $25 million. And while you could compare that... Go ahead.
Let me qualify my comment, and that's fair enough. Here's what I do think is very clear. Orlovsky, Canty... You two, about all four of you have said, you know, this could put Adam Peters' work in jeopardy of what he has accomplished over the last year plus. And to me, that's nuts. I get why Orlovsky and Canty would say it. I cannot for the life of me understand why you two would say it.
I didn't say that, so I don't know what you're referencing.
No, and I would disagree with that from Orlovsky. Like, would you lose a lot of the goodwill from the fan base? Sure.
Yeah.
Can you take away an NFC Championship game appearance? Absolutely not.
Appreciate the phone call. Yeah, I mean, I don't. You'd have to tell me specifically what quote you heard that made you think that's what I was saying. But no, I don't in any way think that any one move that they've done will take away a multiple year successful culture build. Number one. Number two, what I asked was, is it possible that this can do damage in the locker room to this brotherhood idea that this Commanders family is stronger than the individual, or, you know, you guys are, we love our guys. We don't care about everybody else. It's about you guys. Oh, by the way, we're not going to pay the number one, you know, player who's led the program for the longest. I think that's a reasonable ask. Is it damaging as a message to send, to Orlovsky's point, in the locker room? But there's a 0% chance that this undoes all of the good that they've done, especially when the fact that it's the correct business move. I always come back to that. I personally would not do it this way because I would currently say, hey, I'm willing to pay you market. Let's end this charade, knowing that I'm paying him a couple million too many per year. But it would have been worth it to me to not have 20 hours of conversation about it and all the platforms that talk about me, to not have the distraction of fans chanting your name after every job in practice. And I would just chalk it up when my owner says, why did we give McLaurin $32 million a year? Cortland Sutton got 23.5, and you know the going rate was probably more like 27. I'd say, sir, we just invested $5 million in Jaden Daniels during a time where we're not paying him a whole lot of money. That would be my logic. But I will stop short of this idea that I'm going to take McLaurin's side. If we're saying someone's right here, it's likely Peters and not Terry.
Yeah, I mean, his point is that how do we know what McLaurin's asking? How could you be on his side? How do we know what the team's offering?
Yeah,
like we've heard low 20s, whatever. But I think the best example of that is Joel Corey's been on the station multiple times and talked about in his article talking about this, that if you go by the same percentage of what the cap was when he signed his previous extension to what it is now, that equates to just over $30 million.
Right.
So for the fans that are like, oh, he doesn't deserve 30, well, then he doesn't deserve whatever he was signed before. I get that the age thing, I get all those things.
Yes.
But he's coming off his best season. He hasn't dropped off at all. And you're helping out your rookie quarterback. I think those things all factor in. Is he worth 30? Maybe not. Is he worth 26? I think so. So then are we going to really do this over a couple of million when you have the time now and the space where you can do this? If this were, again, if
he'll
this
be
were
off the books before the Daniels money even kicks in.
Exactly. And so if this were a time when Jaden has been paid and it was going to be affect whether you could sign him or you're going to have to do some funny stuff with that, totally get it. That it's not going to play at all into Jaden's contract at all.
Yeah. I'd like to double click and maybe if you're on social at Grant H. Paulson, you want to hit me up more on this idea of, you know, feeling like, you know, like that the way Peters is handling it will take away. We played the cut and I'm asking the question, could it affect the locker room? I certainly think that there are players that will get annoyed and roll their eyes about how they're treating their buddy. Like that's a real thing. That's a normal thing. But I think it kind of ends there because you hear how Dan Quinn talks about it, where he's like, we love coaching him. We can't wait for him to get here. It's just business. You know, he's kind of downplaying the severity of it. You saw McLaurin out there giving a big hug to Jaden Daniels' mom, who is on the field, and Josh Harris, the owner, is standing there, and he's dapping him up. Like, this is not Micah Parsons, you know, talking about Jerry Jones like a guy he doesn't want to be in the same room with. I think they're still handling it in a very respectable, classy way, and it's just business going sour. And because of that, I think players can do two things like we are. Say, God, I can't believe they're doing this to Terry, you know, the way they're going to view it. And also, they're still spending the money on the cafeteria that we asked for. They're still upgrading our locker room like we asked them to. This is just business. 800-636-1067 is the question. Right now, we're asking about Adam Peters and Terry McLaurin's relationship. And frankly, if you find yourself in any way just saying this is no longer worthwhile, let's end this now. Let's move on. Let's overpay him if we have to because it's regular season time. Everyone keeps talking about it from Terry's perspective. You know, he's got to stop playing this game of chicken. Should the team at some point just decide best interest of Jaden Daniels, it's regular season mode. Let's go. You're listening to The Fan.
Respectfully, Washington, you were a dumpster fire for years. You were a laughing stock. The only thing good about your organization was that young man. Every year he did it, year after year after year, for like 5 or 6 years with disaster all around you. You were the only reason why anyone spoke somewhat positively about your organization. What are we doing in Washington? You finally have some good. And you finally have hope for
after
the future.
Year, yes.
And you're trying to take away the one thing in your organization that before Jaden and this group got there was good. It makes no sense.
That's an angry Dan Orlovsky on ESPN.
He sounds like me.
He needs to turn his hat backwards so we can call him Toki Orlovsky.
Yeah, or Buddy Baker, whatever. Buddy Baker Orlovsky.
The Commanders released their first unofficial depth chart ahead of the preseason. They put out a press packet, a little press release and a media packet for the first preseason game every year. And everyone overdoes it and makes this huge deal of the depth chart. There's really nothing overly interesting or notable, in my opinion. Josh Connerly's listed second at tackle, although they put Andrew Wiley or Josh Connerly.
KJ Osborne is listed as a starting punt returner when Jalen Lane takes the number one punt return reps every time.
This is literally like the bane of the coaching existence, where they have to put something on paper. Nothing's been determined. Pretty much they just do it as if it's a meritocracy, where it's like, you know, who's been here the longest? I guess the opposite of meritocracy, but like, who's been here the longest?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so it's B-Rob, Eckler, McNichols, Rodriguez, Kroski, Merritt, in that order. So I wouldn't tell you if there's anything that intrigues me, but really nothing stands out here at all. And frankly, the stuff that we're telling you based on practice reps and what's happening in the 11-on-11 work is going to be more relevant than any kind of a depth chart. You are going to hear from Kane Medrano, one of the really interesting rookies that they took sixth round out of UCLA. Was going to play a lot, I would imagine, against the Patriots on Friday night. How about that, Tobes? We got ourselves a football game this week for the Commanders.
I'm excited about it. I'm excited to see some of these guys because, you know, we talk about Ja'Cory Kroski, Merritt, Bill all the time, right? I want to see him when the pads come on, when there's real tackle to the ground football going on. Let's see what he looks like. Now, I'm interested to see if he's going to get a lot of work or a little bit of work, and maybe that can tell us a little bit about what their plans are for him in the season. But regardless, I'm excited to see some of these guys actually play football so we can make some actual observations and takeaways.
NBA money is just different, by the way.
Ridiculous.
I'm looking at this De'Aaron Fox deal with the Spurs. I get it. There's a dozen guys on a team on the bench, basically. But how about $57 million a year, fully guaranteed every penny? 4 years, $229 million.
Now, I wouldn't give Terry that contract.
Don't give him that one. Not at 30 years old. That's Clutch Sports, Rich Paul getting that thing done for De'Aaron Fox and the Spurs. But yeah, that basketball money with those small rosters.
Incredible.
Many billion-dollar industry, that's not too shabby. Let's hit the phones, and Reese is in St. Mary's. What's up, buddy? How are you?
What's up, Reese?
All right. How y'all doing?
Good, thank you.
All right, I got a couple points to make. Terry, 30 years old, he didn't play as much in college as a number one. So he ain't got the wear and tear on his body as a 30-year-old. My 2 point is, like Kyler Murray. When they had Kyler Murray looked like this all-star pro. You know, and 2 years ago, he was the baddest thing on the planet, right? But then you take his weapons. So how would y'all feel? This is the question I got to ask y'all. If Terry McLaurin don't play, just say we don't sign him or whatever, and then Jaden Daniels get hurt, he can get hurt anyway, but or he don't shine like he's supposed to shine. Adams Peterson take a hit because he did the same thing with Terry McLaurin. So this ain't all about Terry McLaurin. It's about him too. If he fumble that ball and Terry McLaurin, I'm gonna go to one more. With Cincinnati, remember Cincinnati game with Terry when he threw that pass for Terry in that corner. Who else do we have to do that?
Well, nobody. I mean, you know, thanks, Reese. You don't have anybody. Were you following his first point as it pertained to Jaden Daniels?
Not a whole lot.
Okay, I couldn't quite
track. By the way, as much as I love Terry, Jaden's going to be fine with or without Terry, I
think. Well, you know, I'd go back to the numbers I pointed out, though, about the reliance on Terry McLaurin. This could be something, if you feel that way, we should get into tomorrow, actually, because I think there's some meat on this bone. But will he be fine? Yes. He's not going to be an MVP caliber player without
exactly.
Terry McLaurin.
And that's been my point. It's just
number three duo, Toby.
Just because
EPA per attempt for quarterback receiver, McLaurin and Daniels. Number six in terms of EPA over the season. Number two in tight window rate as a duo. Like without him, I do think Jaden Daniels' passing production falls off massively.
Yeah, and it's always funny to me when people talk about, well, he can do it without him. Yeah, absolutely. I don't want him to be Superman all the time. That's what he did the second half of last year. He had to play Superman because he had no run game.
Well, you're out there at practice a ton, too. We are going nuts about the corner room and how great it looks. How sure are we it's not because they're covering KJ Osborne and Chris Moore?
It's true.
Like, this receiver room, I'm trying to think of who it was. One of the guys that was there for a day, if it was Kevin Clark or... Now, I don't remember who it was, but somebody was there for like a day coming through Ashburn, and they're like, wow, this is really the receiver group, huh? I'm like, you're looking at it. I mean, today, when the starters lined up,
yeah,
without Terry out there, Debo was in motion doing his thing in the backfield, running behind the quarterback, and you had Luke McCaffrey and Chris Moore split out.
Yeah, it's not great.
If the Giants game was Sunday, that would be your out wide receivers when Debo's in motion. I'm sorry, that You're just asking for problems offensively if that's the case. And you're putting way too much on Jaden Daniels' plate.
Correct.
If that's the case. Now, I always come back to the same resolution here, which is the Commanders don't have to do anything but put their feet up. Adam Peters can sip on a margarita in his office because Terry McLaurin's got to play football. He's got to show up. He's not going to hold out. I don't think he's going to go into the season. I was talking to somebody in Kansas City about the last time a guy actually had a contract dispute that went to the very end of camp and how it ended, and I think it could be related to Terry. And it was Chris Jones, the big D tackle for the Chiefs. I want to get into that next. Plus, you'll hear from Kane Medrano, the sixth-round pick, linebacker, going to be a big-time help on special teams, I think, out of UCLA. That's next on The Fan.